When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay. Are you ready to do a show?
I'm ready to do a show. I'm always ready to do a show.
I know. You're always
always very
bushy-tailed and
very perky.
What is that about? Did you just think to yourself, I'm going to be happy today? What is that?
No, I enjoy what we do.
Oh.
I really do.
Well, good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's good to see you every week.
It's
good to see you.
I love that answer. Yeah. And it is good to see you, my friend. I thought it would be really crappy of me if I negated that.
I know. You
Even
just
really
said it because
did,
I said it.
But I
that's
did
okay.
want to pick on you, but no. I'm kidding. I mean it. And I was doing a little thinking about what was on my mind, what I wanted to talk about. It's taking control. I want to talk about taking control. And maybe you can sort of weigh in here. And, you know, we've been talking, good Lord, God knows, on the last couple of podcasts that we've done. I've talked about how things were out of my control and how I've learned this lesson in my life about surrender and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But as things continue to be out of control, and I have days where I'm more anxious than not, you ever have those days where you think to yourself, like, okay, I'm doing really well with this issue today, and then you have a day where you go, oh my God, I've completely backslid. I'm doing terrible with this issue today. Do you have that?
One step forward, two steps back.
My God. Yeah. So, you know, I thought I was doing really well with the adoption process. I felt like I was making great headway. I thought I was in the home stretch and something happened. Mm-hmm. And I have been stuck on this one step. This one frigging step. And by the way, it's the step, the final, this is ironic, the final legalization of my adoption decree. There's 16 steps in this one part of the process.
Oh,
I'm on the 16th step, right? And it's, and I thought, oh, well, whew, 2 weeks and then we're off to Haitian immigration and the State Department. Anyway, long story short, a month has gone by and it has been eating at me. I mean, unravel time. The kind of thing where like, I am actively crying at stoplights kind of thing. You ever have? Help
but
me.
But it's out of your control, though.
Help. That's,
No, I told. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding?
God, Janice. And it's like the worst feeling, and all these feelings come up that I know are not rational, but it's like if I was a more important person, which the funny thing about me is that I was always transparent about this process, so no one thought I cheated the system. But then you're like, I wish I was strong enough to cheat the system. I don't care anymore. I just wanted to come home. And it's like, you know, if I was more influential, she'd be home quicker. You start to think of all the reasons and things, you know, that you're not good enough and she's not home yet and she's spending time in this orphanage. And anyway, and then what I realized began to help me. I started thinking, my shrink was like, what, you want to mother this kid and you can't, it's not in your control. You're not God. You can't change these things. And we've had this conversation a million times. And while I appreciate it, it's so hard to accept that helplessness. And what I found is that when you feel so anxious and out of control, you can get some sense of control and help to ease that feeling of utter helplessness by being proactive in other areas of your life. And
great point.
So what I've done is I've started, this is going to sound ridiculous, and please don't think I'm talking about adoption like I would rescuing dogs or whatever, but I've been keeping myself busy with things like, you know, working on this campaign for PETA about rescuing horses, going to this thing for the Dolphin Project for Rick O'Berry, who produced The Cove, working for a project called Dress for Success, which helps women who are in shelters get wardrobes to go out and find work. And it has lost my mic there. And it has been very helpful for me in having a sense of, okay, I'm able to make an impact in these other areas. And it's helping me feel less helpless.
Yeah.
And subsequently, I was doing an interview with a woman for Women's Health. I did the cover of Women's Health recently. And she had been an editor at E, I believe, or like some big wig at E, and they had layoffs. And she said, you know, I became aware of you when I was laid off from E and I started exercising all the time for the first time in years. And she talked about how it was the strangest thing, and she'd identified with her job, and now she had this completely different identity. But the fitness, the focusing on her fitness, the taking control of her health for the first time, helped ground her, helped her feel like, I'm in control of this thing. So even though this aspect of my life is bananas, this thing I've got control of. And so I wanted to really suggest that to those of you out there who might be struggling with something that you can't control. You're out of work, you can't get a job. Maybe you've been injured and you can't work out. Or maybe you're trying to adopt a kid and it's taking 2 years to get her home. And if you are, hang in there. But I want to suggest, instead of giving up and getting depressed about it, and believe me, I've been through my phases with that too, so I'm not trying to lecture. I'm trying to share the things that have kept me sane. Look at your life and see where you can get proactive and take control and be positive and have an impact, whether it's charity work, your own health, or if you're not healthy at the moment, but you're working, where you can boost your business, create new projects. If you're not working, where you can get healthy. So that's what I wanted to put out there in the world. Look to the areas where you can have some impact and control to help manage that feeling of helplessness and allow you to surrender those things that are temporarily impossible to affect.
You know, and that's really true, because I mean, you say the word helplessness, and I know in a lot of the recovery communities, in any kind of 12-step programs, they talk about the word powerlessness. And people think of that as a negative thing. And powerlessness is really, it's so not negative. And
really?
And I am powerless. You are powerless over this situation. Doesn't mean that you are powerless, like Jillian Michaels can't get this done.
That's how it feels, Janice.
I'm sure it does. I'm not negating
Good
how it feels.
Grief.
But what you've done is classic kind of 12-step work. Is when you're in trouble, you help somebody else.
Really?
Oh, are you kidding? Like, exactly. It's like when it's to get out of yourself, and not that you're in yourself.
No,
because I know you're doing
something deeply,
but
in
the
my
things
own
you name,
drama and anxiety. Absolutely.
But because you can't rescue your daughter out of that place,
yes,
right now, you're look what you're rescuing. I mean, and I don't
I know.
No, don't take that
word
rescuing.
The word rescue, but yes,
I don't mean
I
that in a negative
mean
way, but it's you're doing all the things you
let me tell you something though
should do.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
It's common knowledge that my daughter is not thriving in this environment. It shuts her down. She's in a very good orphanage. It's a very good place. But this environment for her is not good for her. This is common knowledge. So when you say rescue, that's how I do feel. I feel like I want to take her out of there and bring her home. So even though it's like not okay to say, that's how it feels. She's not happy there. She doesn't like it there. I know this for a fact. And I've seen that kid when I'm able to be with her and she's able to stay with me out of that environment, and she blossoms. And the minute, you know, she goes back into that environment, it's overwhelming for her. It's too much for her little personality, and it shuts her down. And so continue anyway.
I just think you're doing the right steps to stay sane.
Okay.
You know,
good.
I really do.
Well, That's our advice. For anybody else who is feeling the way I'm feeling and who feels
like you're not alone.
Backsliding, you're struggling, and you're anxious, and you're helpless, or you're powerless, I guess, yeah, try to exert some control in other areas of your life.
For sure.
And get involved with other people, because that also does make you feel better.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Just try your best. Try everything you can. And don't you worry what they tell themselves. When you're away, it just takes
time. Okay, guess what this segment is about.
Well, I hope there's some food eating involved. You can't put this stuff in front of me and just make me sit here like a hungry dog.
Well, Weirdo.
The point of this segment is actually called Skinny Tips.
Okay.
And it's to help you eat less.
Well, okay.
No, I'm not there. Please don't eat the... I'm not there yet. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Try to pay attention. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. So... number one, we're going to start with, we've got about five, Janice,
I'm good. I'm just a little, okay, you want me to start with the nuts? Okay.
Okay. So we have 8 almonds and 5 walnuts. Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is not a snack. The idea behind this is that if you eat, let's say, these little treats before a big meal, like a lunch or a dinner. I don't want you doing this like breakfast, lunch, dinner, because then you are going to be adding about 50 calories, 80 calories every time. But if you do it before a big meal, what it does is it releases a hormone. Hold on. Cholecystokinin.
Oh, I went out with him.
It releases this hormone, and that hormone goes into your tummy, and it delays gastric emptying. So it's kind of a gross term, but essentially what it does is it keeps you fuller for a longer period of time. So you eat these guys before you start snacking. Which would you like to try?
Almond, definitely.
Okay. You eat them before your big meal, and then you're going to eat less. That's the idea. Okay?
How many do I eat?
All 8 of them.
Oh, good.
8 of those. No, only 8. Because nuts are very caloric. So only 8 almonds or 5 walnuts. Remember, it's not part of the meal. The idea is it's helping you eat less. That's the idea.
Would have been nicer if they were roasted, but that's okay. Just raw is kind of boring, but this very tasty. Thank you so much. Okay.
You want to tell Michelle over there? She's right there. You want to tell her that for the
props? Roasted next time.
We'd like roasted.
Dry roasted.
Dry roasted for the props next time.
Don't be a diva.
Oh, okay.
She is turning into a diva. Janice is already turning into a diva.
Don't start with me, because I know things.
Color. Oh, you're threatening me now?
Just saying.
She's
put this down quietly.
The next tip, this wasn't how this segment was supposed to go. The next tip, okay, brush your teeth throughout the day.
Oh, okay.
Here's the idea. Really simple. When you're having a craving for something like pizza or like pasta, brushing your teeth and then eating something like that is kind of gross.
Tastes horrible.
It doesn't sound... Yeah. So here's what you're going to do. You brush your teeth now, okay?
With all this almond in my teeth? Whose toothbrush is this?
It's new.
Is it new?
Absolutely.
I've seen people who've done the toilets with somebody's toothbrush to be mean. If I get some kind of dysentery... You want me to brush it right now?
Yeah, and then spit it.
Oh, thanks for all the water. Oh, my God.
Okay. Now, you may not be traveling around with the toothbrush and toothpaste, but one of the things that I like to do is I keep wisps on me.
Mm-hmm.
Little portable toothbrushes are the best thing ever. And you just brush your little teeth, and it helps you. So when you're having that craving, you want the candy bar in the middle of the day or the cupcake or whatever it might be, brush your teeth. Not only is it going to keep your teeth clean,
you're supposed to always, when you brush your teeth, always go around the back.
And always go around the back of your teeth. It wasn't necessarily about teeth cleaning, though. Okay, spit into there.
Well, where am I going to rinse? Oh, my God. That's disgusting. You know what?
Okay, now what? What? Ready? Okay. Now, do you feel like pizza?
No, I'd like to. Well, I'd eat it. It looks good, but I don't really. No, because with the toothpaste.
Well, okay, so rinse and spit.
Oh, God. Who used this now?
I think.
You know, if you guys jack me on this, someone's going to go down. Okay.
Okay, now, here's the next tip.
No, these are really good, actually, too.
No, it's good. It's true.
I got thousands and thousands of comments when I put one of these on Facebook. These are gems that I'm giving you right now.
Yeah,
okay, so you have a craving, right? And you just cannot get it out of your mind. And we've all been there. And the worst thing for you to do is go, oh, I really want a piece of pizza, but I'm going to have an apple. Well, you're going to eat the apple. You're 80 calories into the apple. Ugh, I really want the pizza. Mm-hmm. I'll eat a bag of carrots. By the time you finally get to the pizza, you've eaten like everything else in the house. Just do this. Take 3 bites of the thing you're craving and then wait 10 minutes. So you get 3 bites.
We're going to wait 10 and then we're going to sit and watch me for 10 minutes?
No, we're just going to see how you do. Just take 3 bites and we'll get to the thing. So have your 3 bites. And the idea here is that you
get... That's good pizza.
3 bites. Just 3, though. So the idea is that I want you to give yourself that bite of the treat, okay? So you're not feeling deprived. And then walk away from it, which is, that's the hardest part, is being able to walk away from it. Mm. Because you're like, no, I really want one more. I really want more. But if you just distract yourself, go do an errand, go make a phone call, take the clothes out of the washing machine, whatever it is. Because it always happens to me at night when I'm home after dinner. So I'll think, okay, I'm going to take 3 bites and then I'm going to go take the clothes out of the washer. I'm going to let the dogs out to go to the bathroom. I'm going to brush my teeth. Okay. 10 minutes will go by and you'll find that the craving has probably passed. Did you have more than 3? Don't do that. You're ruining the segment again. Okay.
That was good pizza.
Now, here's the next tip. Okay, you ready?
You're not going to eat me. Eat that.
No, you don't have to wear... You don't have to eat the Spanx. You have to... Okay. So, wear tight clothes. So, whether it's tight jeans or Spanx... By the way, look at the visual on that bad boy. Super power panties. Huh? You know this woman's a billionaire, right?
Yeah, she took a pair. She wanted to go out. She took a pair of pantyhose, cut the feet out, stuck them on, and then made $1 billion.
Yeah. So, what a genius. I told you, wait 10 minutes, please. Mother of God. So, 10, just can you wait?
Yes.
10 minutes. So, wear tight clothes because when you feel your pants getting tight, it's a gross feeling. It makes you feel, you know, yucko, right? We don't like when. So, show everybody that you're all prepared. Janice has done her due diligence.
Yeah, I had to put these on.
Oh my gosh.
Look at them. Look at these things. Look how tight they are. You can't see any more than this thing, right? You're not looking at Miss Kitty.
All right. You can get dressed again.
Thank you.
Okay, so.
Yeah, and they're tight. They're not exactly. There's no blood flow in my area. I'll just have you know that. Thank God there's
does
oil.
Does have the power panties or the super power panties on?
Super power.
So you're wearing the super power ones.
Yeah, they're...
Okay.
Kitty is what they are.
Okay, but wait. Those are tight, right?
Yes, very tight. So, especially around every... Yeah, very tight.
So
I'm very conscious.
But like, you know, you're conscious.
I'm conscious.
That's exactly it. So like when your clothes are super tight, the last thing you want to be doing is eating more because you feel like, ugh, this is... Right, okay, so... Cheat a little bit. Tight clothes, pair of Spanx. Next one. Okay, you ready?
Do you want me to move over?
No, I can handle it.
All right.
Okay, the next one is when you're making something like pasta, here's a little trick. It's okay to have carbs once in a while. Obviously, I'd rather you have like quinoa pasta, brown rice pasta, something that isn't bleached. But the truth of the matter is whole wheat pasta, white pasta, they're both really high glycemic index. And what that means is they both convert to blood sugar very, very quickly, which is going to drive insulin levels up. And as you know, when insulin levels shoot up, it has everything to do with obesity, diabetes. So that's bad. But a little tip is to make your pasta, you don't have to eat this one.
Okay.
We'll get there in a minute. A little tip is to make your pasta al dente, meaning cook it slightly less. You want it a little bit firm. And it actually lowers the glycemic index of the food. So it's better for your body and it's better for your metabolism because it's keeping that insulin in check.
That makes sense because I overcook my pasta all the time and then I eat it too fast because it's almost mushy.
Well, that's bad too. And if you think about when you're cooking it like that, it's almost as though you're pre-digesting it. Remember that
exactly.
You want your body to work to digest the food and it's going to slow down that blood sugar release. So al dente pasta. And you know what? I feel like we should just jump into this one. Will you hand me the chicken and the pasta and the olive oil, please?
When do you eat some of this?
But I already do these tips, so I'm not hungry. I need the olive oil, too. Here's another one. So with foods that are high glycemic index, we do something called food combining. And what this means is that when we put a starch, like a pasta, with some fat and some protein, we're also slowing down how quickly it's being converted to blood sugar. So when we have a little protein, a little bit of fat, and we combine it with the pasta, your body is having to separate, okay, this is chicken, this is olive oil, okay, this is pasta, and essentially it's pulling apart all these foods and getting the nutrients out of the food. It's oxidizing the food, turning it into energy. When you combine it with a protein and a fat, it slows down the insulin release of the carbs. But the number one rule is always remember, eating less is key. So you don't want to go, oh my God, I had a huge thing of pasta, then I added chicken and oil. Well, then you've just added probably 300, 400, 500 calories. So we need a smaller portion of the pasta with protein and fat. And that's going to be the ideal combination for blood sugar, making sure you get it in the right calorie zone, working into your calorie allowance. Okay, ready for the next tip?
Okay.
You set? All right. Now, fiber supplement. Drink up. These are psyllium husks, okay?
Here's the... Yeah, that have... Hello?
No, but it's supposed to be this way. Let me explain.
You drink it like that? I thought you drank it before it turned into this.
No, look, it's...
No, but when you first stir in psyllium husk, it's...
We just poured it in there.
Don't be a diva.
Don't be a diva. Okay, here's the idea. Fiber is a bulking agent, okay? This isn't a laxative.
Well, this is like eating Jell-O.
It's cream of wheat.
It's like cream of wheat. Okay, so...
Is there going to be a problem here? Do we need to bring in towels?
No, it's not a chemical laxative, okay? So a chemical laxative is something that makes your intestines contract. This does not make your intestines contract. It's a bulking agent.
Oh, God. So, it's just horrible.
It's a bulking agent. So what this does is there's no calories in it. It's psyllium husks, okay? You see it in bulk over there. You can get it at any health food store. You can buy it in a bin.
Right, in a bin.
A bin. And you put it in a bag. And you put a tablespoon in your water.
And you let it sit to this consistency.
No, you stir it and then you drink it. So here's what it does. When you put this in your stomach, it expands and it becomes gelatinous and it makes you feel more full. So for those of you who are dieting or working out all the time and you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, I'm starving,
Oh God, I can't. It's just horrible. There's a way to drink it where it's not quite this gelatinous. Gelato.
You got it. You can do it. I don't know. Here. Okay. So.
You're right. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just don't think you could.
Don't want you to do is that you can get, there are some of these things that you can buy in the store. I don't want to say the name, but some of them have flavoring in them, like an orange flavor. Ugh. Don't do that because it has artificial sweeteners and artificial color. So just get psyllium husks. Okay. That's a great way to go. Keep going.
And do you drink it after your food or
Before your food, because it makes you eat less. That's the whole idea, okay? And last but not least, do we have salt? Do we bring the salt?
No.
We may not have salt. Salt? No salt. Okay, so let's presume that we had our salt or something of that nature. Hand me your toothpaste, will you? So, you're sitting at a table. No, the spit out one.
You want the spit out one?
Yeah, I want the spit out one. Okay, so let's say you're sitting at a table and there's a salt shaker there, right? Or something gross. When you're done eating something, ruin it. And I know you're going to say, you know what, Jillian, there are people starving in the world. You know something? You're absolutely right. But how are they going to get your leftover pasta? So what a lot of times people hate doing is they feel really guilty about wasting food. So they just eat everything, even when they're already full. But
I do that.
All you're doing, can I be honest? I do it. I did it too. And the logic is absurd. It's like, how is the person who is hungry going to benefit from you getting cancer, diabetes, and heart disease? They're not. When you're done, ruin it. Because what you're doing is you're destroying any temptation.
Wow.
Willpower is a fleeting moment of bravado. So what that basically means is like you've had this moment and you're like, I am not eating this anymore. In that moment, wreck it. Because now, okay, ready? Do you want to eat this again?
Well, if you weren't here,
I
wouldn't know.
You wouldn't. There's no way you would.
No, I wouldn't.
Or you'd ruin it with something that you don't want. Okay, now. So finish this up and then tell me.
Seriously, you really want me to drink this whole thing?
By the way, though, Janice, I forgot to tell you, these come in capsules so you can swallow them in pill form. You don't have to drink it like that. I hope you learned something. Bye.
Let's do one more out.
God, that was just...
Actually, Maria has 5 minutes with us.
Sorry,
Jesus. Please tell me we got that. Please tell me we got it.
Hey, and you know what?
Tell me.
Our guest coming up.
She is super duper. Her name is Tara Moore, and she's going to talk to all of us about our career life, being more confident in our career, nailing a job interview. So you're not going to want to miss this. Stick around.
Okay, guys, I'm so excited for you to meet my next guest. I was on CNN.com and I was reading an article that she'd written about mistakes that we make in a job interview. And the reality is that right now, 12 million of us are out of work in America. And for every single job, there are 4 people applying for that job. So having the right information and advice to nail that interview is key. So my next expert is here today. Her name is Tara Moore. And I mean, boy, buddy, holy cow. I mean, you write for the Huffington Post, BigThink.com, you've been on the Today Show, CNN.com, USA Today, the International Business Times, Forbes, and it goes on and on and on. And you went to Stanford. That's fairly impressive. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I adore everything you're up to and delighted to be here talking about this today.
Thank you so much. All right. Here's what I want to know. Let's start out with the good stuff. What is the worst thing a woman can do when she's going out for a job interview? Let's just crack right into it.
I think the worst thing she can do is let her inner critic run the show. So all of us have an inner critic, which is that voice inside. Right. You know that voice. It's like very repetitive. It's very anxious. It is saying things to you that you would never say to another person, that you'd never want anyone to be told these things. And that critic shows up for most people when they're going for a job interview. And the bad news is the more that job is close to your dreams and really aligned with your calling, the louder your inner critic is actually going to be.
Why is that? Because I do experience that. Or if you have even, I hate to say it, but even on a date, like if you're excited about a date, it's like, oh, I'm not going to be pretty enough. Or there's going to be somebody there who's more interesting than me. So it seems like the more you write, the more you want something, the more insecure you get and you think about the people that are better for the opportunity than you. What is that
right.
about?
It has to do with the fact that when we're stepping into our calling and our real strengths, there's a kind of real vulnerability in that and visibility in the world. And usually for most of us, that also means we're leaving our comfort zone and we're leaving a status quo when we weren't going for our calling.
Yeah.
So we are afraid. We're afraid of that change. We're afraid of that vulnerability. And the
rejection.
Inner critic, it doesn't say, hi, I'm afraid. It's fear, but it manifests as this voice that's going to try and attack you in every way it can so that you stay in the box.
Oh, it's a self-defense mechanism.
Yes, it's an expression of fear. It's a very sophisticated expression of fear.
Wow. I've never recognized that. I would have always thought, oh, it's your self-esteem, but it's really just you trying to prevent yourself from trying and failing, getting rejected and being devastated.
Yes, I actually think of it as like, let's say here's your comfort zone.
Right.
And if you're inside your comfort zone, the guard that stands at the edge of your comfort zone can just go to sleep, take a nap. But if you start to approach the edge of your comfort zone, that guard is going to wake up and do everything it can to try and keep you in there. And what's a pretty effective way? It's not saying, hey, let's just stay in there, because then that part of you, right, that wants to go for your dream.
Yeah, let's just chill.
No. So it's going to say, you're not qualified for this. Who do you think you are? How could you show up wearing that or weighing that or whatever it's going to say?
Okay. Now, you then say that we need to acknowledge this inner critic and give it a name?
Yes. Yeah.
Why? What do you mean?
So you want to think about right now, everybody can do this. Think about what that inner critic voice says to you. And maybe think about it with a job interview or whatever aspect of your life.
I try not to do this, Tara. I really tried to like quiet that. I never acknowledge it. I try to push it over here.
Right. But you are such a big believer in awareness and consciousness is everything.
Completely.
Right?
You're right.
So we're getting conscious about the inner critic.
Okay.
So think about that voice and now start to imagine if that voice were actually a character, who would it be? So does it sound in your voice like a male voice or a female voice?
A female voice.
Okay. And does it sound like an older or younger voice?
Older voice.
Okay. And if you were really now to flesh her out into a character, who is she? What is she wearing? What's her deal?
She is the responsible side, the part of me that feels like I bucked the system, that I should have completed college, that I should have done things and played by the rules, and that because I didn't, I'm not as good as the people who did. So it's like, maybe it's that my mother's lovely, oh dear God, but I think it's almost like that parent that's disappointed in me.
The disappointed parent. Fabulous. And what does she think?
Oh my God!
Revelation!
I never really... This is about them. Stop doing this to me. This is what I do to other people.
Right. Well, everyone can do this at home right now.
Oh, my gosh.
This at home right now. Yeah. So what does she think is going to happen if you just keep bucking the rules? What's she worried about?
That, you know what, it's all going to fall to pieces. That if I, you know, people will look at me and go, oh, you know, she's a fraud because she didn't do it this way. Mm. Or she came at it that way. Or there are people with degrees in exercise science. You know, who does she think she is?
Yes.
And that it'll all fall apart.
So what would you want to name her? What's her name?
Bitch.
Okay.
Is that
want to add a proper noun to that or an adjective?
Betsy? Okay, we'll call her.
Yeah, we could call her Betsy the bitch.
My producer wants to call her Betsy.
You want to do Betsy the bitch?
Betsy the bitch.
Okay, great. So now.
This is taking a real turn.
When you hear her talking, you're going to say, hi, Betsy the bitch. I hear you talking. I hear you giving your input.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And in creating a character, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Why are we making up these characters? We're doing that to separate the critic from our core selves.
Oh, wow.
So that we're getting really clear that voice that is irrational, anxious, repeating the same friggin' lines, right, decades on end, that's different from the core of me, the part of me that really wants to go for my dreams. And by imagining this character, we're just making that really vivid for our brains that, no, that voice is separate from the part of me that's going to be in charge now.
Okay. Well, then, though, so we acknowledge Betsy the bitch.
Yes.
But then I tell Betsy the bitch to piss off, say goodbye.
Well, how well has that worked so far?
She's definitely not gone.
Right. Okay. So the thing about our inner critics is they love the territory of arguing with us. They love that, right? They're really good at it. Do you have the degree or do you not? And do you have enough training? Once we get into the argument, they're like a person who, you know, the kind of people who just, once you've gotten into the argument with them, you've already lost.
Yes.
So that's exactly what we don't want to do with the critic. Instead, I like to think of the metaphor of, you know, when you're driving on the freeway and there's someone in the lane next to you and, like, it's sort of distracting because they won't go in front of you. They won't go behind you. They're just right here. And it could be very distracting if you let it. I always picture like a guy hanging out of a minivan, you know, so his like huge arm. It's like very distracting. So what we want to do is just be able to say, oh, hi, I hear you. I see you. And I'm noticing you're not actually in front of me in my lane. So it's really a practice of acknowledging the critic, just saying, I hear your voice, and then getting to choose, do I want to take direction from you or not?
Right. I love that. Okay, I'm going to try this. And we'll have to do a follow-up.
Let's
on
do
that.
A follow-up. I'm very curious to hear.
Now, there's other advice that you've given about everything from the words you use. So the first thing that you talk about is don't negate your own advice. And I want you to explain this a little bit because I've already actually started applying it. Because when I was doing my research on you and everything, I realized how often I do that. And you explain, and then
okay.
we'll...
Yeah. Yeah. And this is such a great example because it's even the most powerful, competent, brilliant women.
Yes. Of course.
Like you, my dear.
Yes.
We are still doing these little things because we learn them and they become habits, or we just pick them up from the language we hear other people using. So there are these little things. And one of them is this discounting of what we're about to say. So that sounds like this. I'm not an expert in this, but here's what I think. Or I'm just thinking off the top of my head right now.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Right.
That's always what I do. I'm just thinking out loud all the time.
Yeah. Or we'll say, da, 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 and then, does that make sense?
So I'm looking at Janice, who's over in the corner. That is what I say constantly. Does that make sense? And I feel like, is this just a woman thing or is this an everyone thing?
I do think it's worse with women. And the reason is that, unfortunately, in our culture, when we speak really powerfully and without any apology, sometimes that does make us come across as less likable.
I'm afraid that I'm going to threaten people.
Exactly.
So I'm constantly walking on eggshells because I feel like they're going to think, oh, she's a bitch, and who does she think she is to try to tell me how to do my job? I'm the expert in this area. And, you know, so I always try to, like, you know, I'm not the expert in this area, but I thought maybe we could try it like this.
We're trying to make
just
sure.
Just thinking out loud. Done. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, you reading me?
Right.
Okay, you say never to do that.
If you are on the couch, curled up with your best friend, and you're trying to explain, you know, your mixed feelings about your relationship, and then you just want to say to her at the end, does that make sense? Am I getting through? Fine. But in a professional setting, what it sounds like to the listener, and we can all hear this if we think about it, is that that person is feeling like what they said was just confusing or unclear. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm really trying not to threaten them. I think we as women try so hard not to be threatening. And so you say, just say what you think. Put your ideas out there.
Yes. And modulate, you know, there is research that shows
all those ideas.
Yeah, there's, you know, there are some in corporate America. Yes, the more competent women are, they tend to be less well liked than men who are equally competent. But the way you can mitigate that, what the research shows is, one, get to know people well. That effect goes away when people are really familiar with you.
Got it.
And show your warmth and your kindness. So you can modulate the being threatened by letting a lot of warmth and what would be more traditionally feminine qualities come through.
Okay.
That's different than undermining your own ideas.
Love that. And I've started to take that advice. So all my emails, I really try to be very, I hope you had a great day. These are my thoughts.
Yes.
And then
great.
It's like, have a wonderful night. Smiley face. Insert tone. But without negating.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the next tip that you talk about, which is losing the justs in your vernacular, in your vocabulary.
Right. So this is another one of those little things. It's such a little thing, but it has a big impact, which is the way that women use the just. So I just think, da-da-da-da-da. I'm just concerned that. Da, 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 da. I just have a couple more questions. And think about how different that sounds than I'm concerned that da, 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 da.
Yeah.
I have a few more questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to take just a minute. That's another one. This is really important to me, boss. I'm coming to tell you something that really is bothering me. Could you have just a minute to talk to me?
Yes.
Yeah. Drop the justs.
Drop the justs. It's almost like you're not deserving of the time, the moment,
right.
The thought. It's not of value. It's just if
yep.
you could. I love that. I do that one too all the time. And I found that I can really catch it in my emails because now that I read it and I see it, I'm like, dear God. But I've become hyper aware.
That's such a great way to start practicing because you can, it's there in front of you in the email, which sometimes in speech it goes by so automatically.
It's tough. Is there a way to catch it in speech because it's so from your head out your, you know.
Well, there's two things I recommend. One is do not try and change all these things at once. And and certainly if you have a job interview tomorrow, don't tonight try and eliminate justs and all the, this is more of a medium term kind of project because it is changing a habit.
Okay.
So you want to pick one at a time. Okay, I'm going to work on the discounting for a week. I'm just going to listen for that. Now I'm going to work on just. So one at a time. And then you can also ask someone, you know, ask one of your colleagues or a friend you have at work to listen to you and let you know when they hear it or what they hear.
Now, this next tip I learned ages ago from a speech coach, and you call it uptalk.
Yes.
Can you explain?
So uptalk is when women raise their pitch at the end of their sentences in the same way that we do when we're asking a question. So, for example, if we're asking, what size are you carrying this dress in? In English, we go up at the end of our sentence in the question.
In the tone,
yeah. And what happens for women is we start doing that with our statements. So we say, I'm so grateful for this opportunity.
Yes!
Because I think this is going to be really great.
That's right.
And what it sounds like subconsciously is it sounds like to the person who's listening to us, like we're tentative, we're kind of questioning about everything we're saying. So you want to work on bringing your pitch down at the end of your statements.
When they first taught me this years ago, because it was like, if you're going to be giving advice and you're the expert on a topic, you need to go up, down, down. And you know who is queen of this? Is Oprah.
She is really
Watch the
good.
Way she speaks.
Yeah.
She'll say, this is a table. And you believe it. I'm like, it is. It's the best table on the planet. Look at that amazing table.
Yeah.
And I started to watch powerful speakers, and they have got that up, down, down. Mm. And you buy it. Hook, line, and sinker, boy.
It connotes authority, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's one I love, and this is also one that they taught me in media training, but it's very hard to do. Allowing for a pause in an interview.
Yes, this is so huge.
Because it's so uncomfortable.
It's very hard for women, especially, because, first of all, when we're nervous, all people, we rush a little bit. So now we're talking in a rushed way. But also, some people believe this is because women get interrupted a lot in our lives. We tend to get interrupted when we're talking more than men. And so we start to compensate by just going, going, going. We want to make sure we get our full thought out. And so, ooh, I just did up talk. Did you hear it? Thought out? We want to make sure.
Call yourself a professional. Betsy the bitch is coming out. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Norman.
So we want to be really, really aware of those pauses and put a period on the end of your sentence.
And sit. See, they tell you when you're doing an interview for press or something that the journalist will not respond right away because you get that sort of like almost insecurity of should I say more? Is it not enough? Did I not complete my... And then you ramble and you say things you shouldn't.
Right.
And so I've really learned that I'm like, no, I'm done and I'm not going. But it's really hard to do.
It is hard. It can feel a little awkward.
Yes.
But the other thing is during a job interview, then you're also giving that interviewer, you're making sure that they got to ask all the questions they wanted, which if you're, you know, rushing through and talking the whole time, they might come away thinking, well, that woman talked at me a lot, but I never really got to the follow-up questions or the information I wanted to hear. And I didn't feel like I had a space in the conversation.
Now, this is one that I know my business partner would love. And you say, basically, know everything you can about the company that you're interviewing with.
Make sure you're going in with some information. You want to know, what are the new directions that the company's taking? Are there significant changes maybe in leadership or their products? You also want to be able to speak to the culture a little bit. Mm. And this just shows that you care about the interview, you've done your homework, you're interested in the specific company. And you can just, you know, drop that very informally, like, I did the just. It's so hard.
It is so hard. But I heard it right away and I was like, oh, you're just. Oh, and I immediately sensed weakness in you.
So we can all help each other.
Like when you do that. Like as the person thinking like if you were interviewing for my company, I was like, oh, you just.
Right, you just. So you want to say.
Okay. Our producers are. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. That I'd like to hear about some of the changes that are underway with the new leadership of the company.
Right.
Showing that you know what's happening.
I love that. This is such great advice.
Thanks.
Okay, Tara, where can they get more? Where can the viewers get more information? And where can they get 10 Rules for Brilliant Women.
Yeah. So 10 Rules for Brilliant Women, there's actually a workbook, so you can start applying the rules right now. And it's a free download on my website,
good,
which is taramoher.com, T-A-R-A-M-O-H-R.
This is such great advice, buddy.
Thank
you so much. And I really hope you'll be back.
I hope so, too.
Because I can tell there's a ton of discuss.
There's a lot to talk about.
You're the best.
Thanks, Jillian. It's all a game of this or that now.
It is caller 911 time, and we have Rose from Fort Myers, Florida.
Woohoo! Rose, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I was just wondering what your opinion and thoughts are regarding paleo diet or paleo lifestyle.
Okay. Can I presume then that you're in CrossFit if you ask me that question?
Well, I am very intrigued by CrossFit. I'm actually... Right now I'm doing a CrossFit challenge from home, but
okay,
I'm not
great.
Part of a CrossFit group yet.
Okay. Here's the thing. People love CrossFit, and I encourage people to do anything that they love. So my only advice when you're beginning any fitness regimen is to make sure with CrossFit, you know, it's a particularly aggressive form of exercise. I want you to make sure that the gym and the instructor you're seeing, they're all CrossFit certified. Make sure that they do an assessment of you when you go in, so they put you in the appropriate class. Because my business partner went to a class and they didn't assess him and ended up hurting his back. So, but if you go to a certified place, and this doesn't just apply to CrossFit, this applies to everything. Certified instructor, certified facility in CrossFit in particular, make sure they assess you so they put you in the appropriate class. Now, with paleo in particular, this is something that the CrossFit community really advocates. It's my understanding of it that they don't eat grains. They're predominantly protein and greens. I think, does that sound right to you?
It's no grains, no dairy.
Right. I forgot the dairy. Forgive me. And it's pretty much like meat and veggies.
Meat, vegetables, fruits, and nuts.
Yeah. Oh, there's nuts. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my only thought on this. I just personally don't love diets that are super restrictive. I find them hard to sustain. And I would say to you that as much as we can sit there and argue about paleo, there's going to be a doctor who comes in and argues the benefits of legumes and whole grains and the fiber and the vitamins and the minerals in the whole grains and quinoa and barley and amaranth. And so we can always find somebody who's a nutritionist, a registered dietitian, a cardiologist, you name it, who can argue for any possible diet. I'm a raw foodist. Okay. I eat macrobiotic. That means I cook everything a certain way. Okay. So with things like this, I found throughout the course of my career, I went through, you know, because I've been doing this now since I was 17, so for 21 years. And I found that, you know, there was a time when I tried everything, thinking that I tried every fad diet. I read every fad diet. I tried the Master Cleanse, the Cabbage Soup Diet, South Beach, the Zone, I caught Atkins, no fat. I did it all. And what I realized is that there's always going to be somebody who's reinventing the wheel with a diet. And the truth of the matter is, eat healthy, fresh, clean food. Eat it in balanced portions. So don't eat more calories a day than you're burning and you won't gain weight. Avoid chemicals and fake foods. I don't want to see you eating, you know, Twinkies and ding-dongs and, you know,
right.
It's like cheese balls. And that is not food. But I guarantee you that oatmeal is not going to kill you. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to happen. In fact, there are many doctors who would argue that oatmeal is incredibly heart healthy when it's, you know, steel cut, not processed. So I would just say common sense with this, you know, and if you like it, God bless you. Have a blast. Paleo is not going to kill you either. So if this feels right to you, there's nothing particularly dangerous about it as long as you're eating a lot of vegetables. So you're getting the fiber. Okay.
Right.
And God bless, and just be safe with your CrossFit. Make sure that you get assessed and you go to someone certified.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
See you later. I just, like, you know, the fad diets, I've stopped, like, I even stopped reading about them anymore because I feel like I know the way.
Yeah.
It's like balance.
Common sense. Clean food. Whole food. Don't eat poison.
Okay, you got to do GoDaddy.
Oh, that's right.
Before we go.
Oh, what is it?
GoDaddy before we go.
Is it the $2 domain thing?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, you're ready.
Here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. So, for my podcast listeners, GoDaddy.com are going to offer you guys a $2 deal on domains, like a .com or a .net. Huh? I know you might be thinking, I don't need a domain name. How do you know that? Maybe you do. I have to say that JillianMichaels.com is the hub of my whole brand. You know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, JillianMichaels.com.
And that's everything. Your domain name. That's your domain name.
Yeah. I mean, and for $2, that's nothing. Well, here's why I do it, though. I got to be honest. And here's the benefit for working with GoDaddy is that, you know, for me, with my businesses, we need to grab the domain. So whenever we want to start something, like, let's say, Body Revolution, we need to grab Jillian Body Revolution, Jillian Michaels Body Revolution, and all incarnations of it. So if we want to expand it and we want to protect our business, so for $2, I register tons of them. It's clever. Yeah. So that's a good deal. To get your deal, go to www.godaddy.com. You can register your domain for only $2. Do I sound very pitchy? Do I sound like I'm selling it?
I believe you.
And you'll get a free personalized email and a free website builder with hosting and more. Huh? For $2. So you can search anything you want to register and enter fitness in your cart when you check out. And that'll get it done for you. So this offer is only good, though, for 10,000 redemptions or until April 30th of 2012. And you can go to GoDaddy.com for all the details. Yeah, there you have it.
We got to go now.
It's a good little giveaway.
It's a good little giveaway. Yeah, and now you got to say giveaway goodbye.
All right, we'll give away goodbye. Bye-bye.
Rosemary, heaven restores you in life. You're coming with me through the aging, the fearing, the strife. It's the smiling on the package. It's the faces in the sand. It's the thought that moves you upward, embracing me with two hands. Right, we'll take you places, yeah, maybe to the beach. When your friends, they do come crying, tell them now your pleasure's set upon slow release.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.